I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Join 105.7 The Fan's Baltimore Baseball tonight before every weeknight home baseball game at Pickles Pub as we broadcast live. Enjoy their 32-ounce Orange Crush. And on select nights, pick up a free 105.7 The Fan and Sines & Kirk bucket hat, courtesy of Sines & Kirk Lawyers. YouHaveALawyer.com.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
Tuesday night at the yard, some timely hitting gets the birds back in the win column.
Rutschman left center field. That's a carbon copy. Two RBI singles in the game, both the other way, and the Orioles open the lead up to 5-1.
The call from Kevin Brown on Masson. Adley drives in Gunner in the bottom of the seventh, the 2019 draft special right there, as the O's take a 5-1 lead. They'd hold on and take game one from the Astros by a score of 5-3. Samuel Basayo would get in on the hit parade as well, going 2-for-4 with an RBI, and Pete Alonso would go yard, a two-run shot in the fifth, his fourth of the year. Not to be outdone by the bats, starter Shane Boz looked good as he captured the first win of his Orioles career, tossing 5 2/3 of one-run ball, striking out six. Weather permitting, the O's and Astros will battle again tonight in Game 2 of the three-game set. And the fan will get you prepped with Baltimore baseball tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, live from Pickles Pub, beginning at 5:30, with first pitch slated for 6:35. Your Wednesday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center. Mostly cloudy skies with rain and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs near 70. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play the big spin scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery. You can win up to $50,000 instantly. Please play responsibly. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
A cop, a coach, a con man, and an average Joe. The Big Bad Morning Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed North, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn on his hump day Wednesday. Now, I guess I was kind of taken aback yesterday when you sent the text, Ed, about Diego
Pavia
signing with the Baltimore Ravens, because I'm like, well, we just talked about it. We just talked about that. And then I looked again. Oh, he signed a 3-year deal. And then he signed a kid from UConn.
Yeah.
To a 3-year.
Fanano or Fanano? Yeah. Go ahead, Ed. How do you pronounce that? You're Italian. Say it phonetically.
Fanano.
Fanano. There you go.
Banana.
They signed him to a 3-year deal as well. I'm like, what is going on? I mean, how did these guys go from undrafted free agents to signing contracts? So I did a little research, guys. And it's not quite what I thought. I don't know what you guys thought. Not quite what I thought. In fact, Brian McFarland is going to be on the show at 8 o'clock. It doesn't really cost the team anything. I got this from officials. Salaries aren't locked in until Monday after game one of the regular season. Signings like this happens a lot. Signing bonuses are the only things that really count towards a contract. So this is a situation where this happens a lot. It's just, I guess, because you have one of these guys, Ed, is the first Heisman Trophy finalist that hasn't been drafted in years.
12 years.
Yeah 12 years is the reason we hear about it. But this is not a big deal at all. This is one of those nothing to see here's.
Yeah, kind of. Just did surprise me, though. I mean, you hear he's coming in, and then they sign him, and, you know, Pavia had a lot of controversy surrounding him. I mean, he had a great season. First time that school had double-digit wins in school history. You know, his stats were impressive. I mean, he's a, you know, Heisman finalist, all that stuff. And then, of course, he loses to Mendoza. And then, you know, a post, F the voters, thumbs down, and all, you know. So, I mean, it was that. But
I take that personal.
I think he's the type of guy to go to an NFL team and then hear one of the radio hosts talking about him and then try to fight him. That's what I think Pavi is. But
yeah,
but I did look. Everybody's probably seen it by now. But
I shouldn't have said I'm a voter.
No, he's in there. But the lady that tweeted out. I mean, it was such a great tweet. I can't believe the Ravens invited Pavi to minicamp. Why don't they invite him to real size camp? And you know, like
that was funny. Yeah.
It's well played. I'm sure, yes. He didn't like it, but again, like this is another guy. His big. Well, there's two detriments with him. I think first off, his size is gonna ding.
5'9" and 7/8".
And I think his attitude. I'm sorry. Like everywhere he's gone, something's happened. He's said something where you go, well, that ain't it. What are you doing? You know, like you lose the Heisman vote and then you're out, you lose the Heisman and then all of a sudden you're out that night and you're trashing everyone and talking bad about everyone.
Do you think what he has done in college, Ed, is worse than who Baker Mayfield was in college?
That's a good question.
I do.
You think so?
Yes. Because Baker was a jerk, like planting the flag. He was a trash talker.
Yeah.
But I don't think he went out of his way to just bash college football, to bash the committee that's voting on it, and then all of a sudden doesn't get drafted, F the NFL. You know, I don't think he's that type of guy.
Well, see, we'll never know because he won the Heisman and he got drafted in the first round. However, I think Baker's personality is very similar, and I think Baker has grown up. I can't speculate that Baker would have done it because he wasn't there. He wasn't in that situation. He won the Heisman. He got drafted in the first round, so he had no reason to F the voters and, you know, screw the NFL for not drafting me. But I think Baker Mayfield was a very, very immature individual who has seen. If he hasn't grown up, then he's fooled me.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still feisty, and he takes no crap from any of the defenders. I mean, that's one thing I like about Baker is, you know, somebody tries to get in his head or trash talks, he just goes face mask to face mask right after them. So I think he has grown up, though, where he won't be planting the flag anytime soon.
No, well, true that. I mean, it is the NFL. I'll knock your block off. You know, it's one thing to, you know, that we're talking trash because he's probably being provoked by the defenders. They probably like it. But at the same time, you know, we can both agree that the guy appears to have grown up a little bit. Am I saying Pavia will, Jeremy? No. I'm not saying he will. I'm not saying he won't. But I think this is one of the good organizations for him to be in, that if he wants to grow up, this is one of the places for him to be.
Yeah. I mean, look, I do think it's the right spot to go. And maybe you do get your come to Jesus meeting and go, okay, if this is what I want to do, I have to correct myself. I have to make changes within. I think a lot of times in this day and age, it's hard to do that because there's so many players on each level told how great they are and, oh my God, you're the best, and people cater to you. Mm-hmm. He had a huge blow-up moment where if you watch him, everybody's like, oh, this guy, okay, it's fine. Oh, he had an upset. Okay, they beat that. Oh, they had another upset? Oh, they beat another team?
Yeah.
I mean, like some of the things he did, Vanderbilt had never done before. So, right. And then Vanderbilt had Jay Cutler there. They've had decent players there. Right. So, I don't know, man. Like I get it. I get kicking the tires on this and seeing what's up. But because at worst, what are you doing? You just say goodbye to him.
Yeah. But again, I was told last night, that contract, no big deal. Undrafted free agent signed contracts. You just have a guy who is so polarizing with his contract. The details of his contract came out. Signing bonuses is the only thing that matter. And unless you're on that roster, that Monday after week one, doesn't matter either. So that he could be relieved of his duties at any given moment with his 3-year contract. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Again, we'll have Brian McFarland on at 8 o'clock to talk more about that. But on the other side, Ed, you do not like the current structure of the NCAA tournament. You think there are too many teams now. Mm. We'll hear what Ed has to say about 76 teams in March Madness. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
After the Big Bad Morning Show, it's Vinny and Haney.
What's left for the Ravens to sort out after adding 11 players in the draft? We're going to discuss what their biggest remaining needs are and look ahead to rookie minicamp.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Hey guys, order like a pro and download the McDonald's app today. What are you waiting for? Keep talking about this McDonald's app. Lots of great deals. It has all of the privileges you could possibly want. For example, you could order your favorites ahead of time. You save money with app-exclusive deals. Those are going on all the time. and earn free food. What's better than free food? Get your favorites delivered with McDelivery. It's deliciousness at your fingertips. So stop wasting time and order from the McDonald's app today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Outer loop of the Beltway before Security Boulevard. That disabled vehicle's been cleared. All lanes are open, but still some heavy volume. 295 at Russell Street, there's an accident. And 95 northbound at Key Highway, clearing a crash there. All lanes are open. 95 southbound heavy after Pulaski Highway, Route 40 to the Fort McHenry Tunnel. And 895 southbound heavy from the split off and onto the Harbor Tunnel. I'm Scott Brady with traffic.
Rob, Jeremy, Ed, and Joe. The Big Bad Morning Show. Sports Radio 105.7. Fan.
Welcome back. I'm going to do play-by-play of Rob walking into the room. He's got his coffee in his hand. He's about to sit down, Ed. Oh, he's made it, but his headphones aren't on.
You know damn well.
His headphones aren't on.
You know damn well I'd never sit down.
Oh, he's got his headphones on. He's ready.
You know damn well I'd never sit down. He's about to sit down.
Oh, man.
The NCAA is making a lot of traditionalists upset.
I hate this. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Well, go ahead. Tell them what you hate.
I don't know if I've told you this. I hate this. Yeah, this is so stupid.
Jeremy, it's so unlike you to actually make a decision. The NCAA has initiated the final step to expand the men's and women's basketball tournament to 76 teams. The expansion, which has been discussed for well over years, on track to be formalized in the upcoming weeks and would begin this coming season. So we were going from 68 to 72.
We should have never been at 68. We should have been at 64. This is the dumbest thing they do. The coaches love it because it gives them a little extra protection, right?
What about the older people who say it should have stayed at 32?
That's fine, too. No, 64 is the perfect number because that's what I grew up with.
That's what you grew up with. That's my point. That's my point.
No, shut up. You don't
know. That's my point. Like if you're 14, you're thinking, well, 68 is perfect. Why? Because that's your number.
But there were also more institutions and more colleges becoming Division One and going on as they started to expand. We had more conferences. There's nothing to say. Like, we've gone to less conferences. We have more power conferences now. And this is just the middling teams in Division One basketball and the power conferences going. This is for the NC States and the Wake Forests of the world. You know, the Oregon States and, like, these types of teams, Washington State, where it's like, okay, hey, look, I made the playoffs again. I made the tournament 10 years in a row. They take almost all the damn teams. We need 76. The hell sense does it make? What's the tournament look like now? When do we start? We start on Monday? We start on Tuesday. What's...
And
stupid. I'm going to have this... I almost cursed.
Yeah? Your thoughts on this?
I knew it was coming. I think it's ridiculous. It's just... It's watering it down even further. Where you're going to have teams that have no business being in there in the tournament. So just as Jeremy said, so the coach can say, well, we made it to the tournament. You know, three of my last five seasons or whatever. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. I don't get it one bit. I don't know why they need it. I mean, I know why they do it, but it's just, I don't like it. And you know, it doesn't stop here. You know, it's not going to stop. Now it's going to be, you know, it's 76. That'll be 96. I mean, it just, I don't
know. I mean, 96 has been, and 108 have been the numbers they've talked about for a long period of time.
Joe, let's bring a different demographic into this. How do you feel about the field expanding to 76?
I'll be honest with you, I don't care.
You don't care because you don't watch?
I don't really watch that much, so I might be the wrong person. Like, it is what it is at this point in time. Like, I think you guys are like, it should have never changed. No. I've watched the NFL season expand.
No, I'm not.
You were around when baseball expanded to 162 games. You've watched this expand. You've watched NFL expand. I think that an older generation is just like, why does any of this need to change?
I don't remember baseball expanding 162, but I remember baseball expanding the playoffs.
Okay, yeah.
I remember football expanding the playoffs.
I didn't like that either.
And I got to be honest with you, I don't care in a different light as Joe. Joe doesn't care because he's not that tuned in to the NCAA tournament. I don't care because it's more magic. I mean, it doesn't bother me. Expanded to 76 does not bother me. Now, in a perfect world, expanding to 76 and giving mid-majors more chances, like instead of you know, CAA having only the conference tournament winner, if that could mean if you won the regular season and lost in the conference tournament, you still go. If it meant that, it'd be even better. But I got to be honest, I think at the end of the day, I do remember it going from 32 to 64, and I were naturally 60, and it didn't bother me. It didn't change anything to me. It was still a great tournament. I think it's still going to be a great tournament.
I mean, it probably will still be a great tournament. But is it watered down more because now we're waiting, we're putting in more teams that don't belong? Like, the lowest seed to ever win, or highest seed, however you look at it, was Villanova. It was an 8 seed.
8 seed.
You know, nobody else sniffs that anymore. We don't even... So why the hell do we need to get more, you know, 18 seeds and 19 seeds in this, and however they plan this whole thing out?
How are they going to plan this? Like, are they going to have, like, just massive playing games?
You know what this feels like, Ed? It feels like the TV show that was created, and they weren't sure it was going to blow up the way it did. So now they don't have to end it. They're writing it. So they'll figure it out along the way. Hey, this is what we're doing. Yeah, I mean, this is just so frustrating to watch. Well, no, I mean, I think the perfect example, you look at some of those shows, like Lost, did they know what they were doing? Because they kept moving in different ways, and then you're at the end like, I don't know what I just watched. Is this, what the hell happened?
There's a writer's strike, that's different.
Well, is it? Did they know where they were going before the writer's strike?
Yeah.
Then why didn't they do it afterwards?
Because they didn't have enough time.
Oh, come on, man. For a show like that, you have enough time.
That show made sense. You just don't understand it.
No, it didn't make sense.
Go watch a book, or read a book about it.
What's the smoke monster?
Smoke monster always existed.
Well, what is it?
It is the man in black. It is that his impersonation is the smoke monster.
So it's Johnny Cash? All right, man. I'm sorry you fell into that ring of fire, buddy.
True story.
Yeah, geez.
I have no clue what they're talking about, Ed, because I never
We have no clue what we're talking about, because the show didn't make sense.
It did make sense. You just don't understand it.
I love Joe here. Oh, it just makes sense. You just don't understand it.
Okay. Joe, you're the man. You're the get off my lawn, man. Joe's inviting everyone to the party on his lawn.
So, Joe, what was the basic premise of Lost? How they tied it all together?
The premise was, it doesn't need to have a premise. The premise is their lives on the island. Everything happened on the island. It was all real.
So are they in purgatory?
None of that was ever real. They crashed on the island, got off the island, went back and died.
So, Ed.
Yes. Some people got off, but others didn't.
When's the last time you've been to King Corona, Ed?
Hey, Joe, I'm lost.
Is my girl still working here?
Yeah.
Let's go to Kevin at Ellicott City. What's up, Kevin?
Good morning, fellas. Great segment. Good morning.
Thank you, sir.
So for me, Rob, it is a little bit of traditionalist for me, but it's maybe in a light, you know, a slightly different light.
So, Joe, Kevin, let me ask you this. What's your tradition, 32 or 64?
I would say 64. I think that's what we're mostly used to.
That's thank you for saying that. This is all about what we're used to. That's what this is all about. Not whether it's right or wrong, but what we're used to. But go ahead, Kevin. I'm sorry. Cut you off.
Yes, sir. You hit that right on the head, though. But for me, you know, it's kind of like, I think it's almost like a slap in the face to the teams that do the best in the bigger conferences, because they're always going against the toughest teams. And for me, it just feels like it's obviously a money grab for the NCAA because it makes the hugest money. But it's kind of like, we're just going to throw another team at you to see if you can keep winning when you beat teams that were way better. I hope you kind of get my point.
I do get your point. Like, I get your point.
But, yeah, for me, it's just a money grab, and I can't watch all them games at one time anyway.
See,
Try harder, Kevin. Try harder. You can watch them.
We get to this point, though, where, like, we keep talking about it. Is the NFL going to water down itself? We're expanding the league. They're playing in different countries. They're playing on different nights. At some point, you do too much to where everybody's like, well, what are we doing?
Let me say this. The NCAA are sons of bitches, and I never want to defend them. But let's not act like CBS isn't really behind this, because they stand to make the most money.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah. NCAA is going to make some money, and I don't want to sit here and defend them. However, me defending the NCAA is like you defending Rob Manfred. So, which is never going to happen. Mm-mm. But let's not act like CBS is not the business that stands to make the most money out of all of this. That's who's really behind this. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We're giving out shovels at 7:45, but we're going to keep it with this. Ed, the NBA draft stands to have fewer than 100 entries. This is what the NIL has done to the draft. Good or bad? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
295 at Russell Street, there's an accident. Watch for police direction there. Outer loop of the Beltway before Security Boulevard. Disabled vehicle has been cleared from the right lane. Still heavy from Reisterstown Road. 95 northbound at Key Highway, there's an accident clearing. And 95 southbound, heavy after Route 40, Pulaski Highway to the Fort McHenry Tunnel. 895 southbound, heavy from the split off and onto the Harbor Tunnel. I'm Scott Brady with traffic.
From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
The Orioles outlasted the Astros last night 5-3 with Adley Rutschman driving in a pair, Pete Alonso going yard, and Samuel Basayo staying hot with a 2-for-4 night. On the mound, Shane Boz got the W, tossing 5 2/3 of one-run ball while striking out 6. Shane had a bit of a slow start to the season, but he's beginning to show signs of the guy that the Birds invested a lot of money in moving forward. Here's skipper Craig Albernaz on another strong start by Boz.
He had all three fastball shapes going, the cutter, the sinker, and the four-seam, and forcing had great life, and then when he's doing that, it just sets up the curveball. Started just on the same plane as the heater, and it just disappeared. So he was really effective tonight, throwing strikes. It was really good outing for Shane.
Last night's start lowered Boz's ERA from 5.08 to 4.5, and he's pitched at least 5 innings in all 6 of his starts this season. Weather permitting, the O's and Astros will battle again tonight in Game 2 of the 3-game series. And the Fan will get you prepped with Baltimore baseball tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, beginning at 5:30. First pitch is slated for 6:35. And in Ravens news, Baltimore signed a pair of undrafted QBs yesterday, giving 3-year deals of Vanderbilt product and former Heisman Trophy finalist Diego Pavia and UConn's Joe Fagnano. Those two will be present at the Castle this weekend for rookie minicamp. Your Wednesday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center. Mostly cloudy skies with rain and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs near 70. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
The Big Bad Morning Show is sponsored by Vinny Steele, your home sold guaranteed realty.
Wow, but I love this.
And you may find yourself watching a TV show that makes zero sense. And you may find yourself asking what a smoke monster is and where the hell are these people
going? I do know what it is. You just didn't like the show, so you call it stupid.
And you may ask yourself, who the hell is Jacob and why is he on this? Oh, sorry.
I just like how Jeremy has media literacy in some things and this one he just can't understand.
Wait, hold on. Or am I playing this up because it makes you so angry?
But it's also the truth. Both things are correct.
Yes, Rob, but what did you say? Do you want to...
Yes.
You had somebody that watched the show,
and she used to always scream, "What are we doing here?" I never watched the show. I never watched the show, but I would hear that scream weekly.
And Joe, by the way, one of my favorite shows now is the show called From, which is basically Lost if it was a horror movie. So you figure it out.
Again, show's over my head. I didn't get it. I never watched. I can't say it was. It didn't draw me in. Never. I never watched an episode. I may have liked it. I just didn't.
They had a couple really sad death scenes in that show that really stand out. Right, Joe?
Did you cry?
No. I got close a couple times. Teared up.
Wah, I don't know what's going on, but this guy's dead. Wah.
I know what's going on. I'm sorry you didn't get it.
I love this.
You sound like the Ravens' new quarterback.
But exactly. NIL era. Yeah. What's his name?
It's flipping the NBA draft on his head. This is crazy. I saw this last night, and you know, we get some of those tweets in, and you gotta fact check it. Like, this can't be true. This is somebody who is just like trolling us right now. Only 71 players entered the 2026 NBA draft. 71 players. They're like, what, 30 teams? So just over 2 players per team. This is per the NBA. Last year, there were 106 players. If you think that's dramatic, 5 years ago, in 2021, there were 363 players wow. who entered the NBA draft. It's the lowest early interest total since 2003. And is this good for the NBA or bad for the NBA?
I think it's bad for the NBA. I think it's bad. That's supposed to be the pinnacle of the sport. And now you got people, you know, hanging back because they're making a fortune as quote, amateurs. I don't think it's good. I think the best players should be in the NBA, and this should be a logical progression where you go to high school, you go to college, and if you're lucky, you get to play in the NBA. I don't know.
You know why I think it's good for the NBA, Jeremy?
I'm just going to say the same thing.
Because you have players who used to go one and done who aren't ready for the NBA, mm-hmm. who now don't have to make. I think life is always better when you don't have to make a financial decision. You can make the best decision. Now you got guys going back to college because they know financially they're fine. They're not ready for the NBA.
I would agree with it being, because I think, look, there's a little bit of both here, and I feel like I've played both sides in some of the questions you've asked. But
story of your life.
But maybe. But with this, if this were the NFL, I'd be like, yeah, I think this is bad. You want the younger guys to get there as quickly as they can. They already have rules in place. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing is, if you're good enough, you're eventually going to get there. So it's just a matter of time. Maybe these first couple years of the guys not getting the top-notch talent, we start to see it. But realistically, there are so many superstars in the NBA, and there's only, 12 to 15 roster spots.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't get the joke about the story of life. But anyway,
yeah, it's okay.
I think you're right. NFL, Ed, I want the guys that's 21, 22, because it's a young man's game more so than the NBA. I think more so than the NBA, NFL's a young man's
game. But I can't say it's a good thing, though. Like, I think it could be a good thing, but I think there's certain instances.
I think getting players that are ready.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, some people argue that it's better for college basketball, and I don't think so. I think if there's a winner here, it's definitely the NBA, Ed, because college basketball, now you got guys going back for more money, and they're transferring all the time, and they're doing these things. So it doesn't have to be better for college basketball, but I think the NBA is now getting the best of the best and more mature players.
But are they holding back because they're not ready or because they're making millions of dollars, you know, in the college ranks? And they're comfortable there, and they just stay, and they say, well, you know, why would they make this move?
Who's the kid?
I mean, the one and done, like, they're there, but they're kind of rare.
Well, so here, I'm trying to look this up. NBA contracts for first-round picks are determined by rookie scale based on draft position, typically lasting 4 years, two guaranteed plus two team option years. Top picks earn significantly more. If you're in the lottery, if you're in the first round, you're guaranteed money. Second round, you're not. The number one overall pick is going to sign a 4-year, $62 million deal. Mm-hmm. So when you start factoring it and the contracts are going lower and lower and lower based upon the picks, they're still going to make good money. But if you're one of these middling players that go, hey, man, they're telling me I might not get drafted to the second round. I'm going to stay here and make $5 million.
That's why I said the players that are ready are going. Darren Peterson would get a bag if he went back to school. Am I right?
Yes.
He's going in the NBA draft. What's the kid's name? I can't pronounce his name. BYU.
A.J. DeBonso.
He would get paid more in college than he would in the NBA. He's going. Cameron Boozer would get paid. He's going. Those guys are ready. Caleb Wilson. Caleb Wilson's ready for the NBA. These guys would get bags if they decide to stay in college. Yeah, they would probably get more money in college. But they're ready, and that's all the NBA is getting, the ready players.
But those guys up top, when they sign, they're making bank. It's not like the NFL where everyone's just slotted a smaller amount, because the NBA, they've got too much money. They had to increase the salary cap, and then we had average guys that were averaging 6 points and four rebounds a game were getting $80 million deals.
Give me a ballpark figure of what Keaton Wagler is going to make his first year in the NBA. Ballpark.
See, I mean, that's hard to say.
Maybe $4 million?
I mean, he's going to get a 4-year deal, the two years team option.
First year, maybe $4 million.
But again, he's going to be a lottery pick, right?
Right, right.
I mean, I bet he's probably making $8 million a year
the first year.
Yeah,
he could get that to see in college,
but so, he gets a guaranteed deal over 4 years.
I understand, but what I'm saying is, all of these guys that are going in the draft are guys who are ready.
Oh, fair enough.
And then the other ones were saying,
I thought you were talking about the other way.
No. The other guys are saying, I might not do that, so let me stay another year to get ready. I think that's where it makes it good for the NBA, because you're getting rock solid guys who are definitely ready, who are saying, I don't care what I'm gonna get next year in college. I'm guaranteed to get that because I'm that good.
I mean, ultimately, Ed, I think it comes down to the people that surround you, your thought process, what are your mentals? Because there are so many people that hear how great they are and they're like, well, I'm going. And then they take that leap, like, oh, I'm good enough to do this. And then you get there and it's like, yeah, this ain't it. You'll be playing in the G League for the next 4 years.
And that's what's really bad for it too, the G League. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Arbutus and get Mike. What's up, Mike?
Fellas, what's going on?
Not much, man. How are you?
What's up, man?
I'm good. Rob, I got your joke about Jeremy. He once told me, you go both ways, you don't go without.
There you go.
Did I say that? That doesn't sound like a quote for me, but I can put it on a shirt.
Like a George Jefferson shirt?
I think the question about the tournament and the NIL, NBA is the same answer. It's all about money. That's all it is. And unless the consumer pushes back, which they won't because they want to bet and everything else, they're just going to keep adding more and more to get more and more money. If you were going to go into the NBA draft and risk going to Europe or G League or whatever, you're staying to make $1 million, $2 million
more than that.
An average player.
Yeah.
I mean, it just comes down to money. And if we're talking about nostalgia, we should bring back Bubba Bowie asking about the lineup and talking about picking and clicking.
Well, we don't have a lineup for our show.
Well, Bubba's passed. Sadly to say, I think people know that. So we got to find the old clip about bringing back the lineup.
He left. But yeah, I mean, I would love to bring him back. We don't get the lineup for our show.
That's Mr. Steal Your Girl. You know that, right? He's the guy that stole some other guy's girlfriend at a wedding as he walked her down the aisle. He was a groomsman. I'm serious, Mike's. That's a dog.
He didn't steal the bride.
No. He stole a bridesmaid that was with somebody else.
If she's not the bride, she's fair game.
Okay. Well, you ain't walking my wife down the aisle.
She's not the bride. She's fair game. I mean, of course, if she's not married. If she's married, she's not fair game.
Maybe.
But if she's a single, if she's not married and she's a bridesmaid, she's a fair game. Only one.
You go ask that MFer. Hey?
No married woman is fair game. don't put me in that corner. Right? Yeah. Robin Fallon, El Cap, you laughing at that? I don't think I appreciated your laugh.
Yeah. I don't appreciate the way that thing sounds.
Yeah, it sounds loaded. You got something on your mind?
I'm good.
Rob McFarlane, our capologist, joins us at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, we give it our shovels, Norris.
Yeah. I'm giving my shovel to George Bush. I think what happened in D.C. recently was his fault. No Child Left Behind, my ass.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next.
After the Big Bad Morning Show, it's Vinny and Haney.
What's left for the Ravens to sort out after adding 11 players in the draft? We're going to discuss what their biggest remaining needs are and look ahead to rookie minicamp.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Dave Dombrowski almost pulled off the reunion of the year. Following the firing of Rob Thompson for the Phillies, reports confirmed Philadelphia offered their managerial opening to Alex Cora before pivoting to Don Mattingly, with Cora saying he wanted to go to the beach while the Phillies go to not the playoffs. I'm Drake Toll.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
295 at Russell Street, there's an accident. Watch for police direction there. 95 northbound at Key Highway clearing a crash. And southbound on 95 heavy after Pulaski Highway to the Fort McHenry Tunnel. 895 southbound still heavy from the split off and on to the Harbor Tunnel. On the outer loop of the Beltway, it's heavy from before Security Boulevard. Disabled vehicle there has been cleared, but still delays from Reisterstown Road. I'm Scott Brady with traffic.
The Big Bad Shovel of Wisdom.
Time to give out shovels. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel this morning?
Well, I'm going to give it to George Bush. I think. There we go. Remember the whole No Child Left Behind and all this stuff?
Yes.
Well, they left somebody behind. Because I don't know if you saw this, but I find it just embarrassing for us as Americans. If you haven't seen, King Charles has visited the United States. People, Rob and I talk about this. I don't know if people are aware of this. This is the country's 250th anniversary.
Yeah, nobody talks kinda, about it.
Nobody's talking about
cool
this.
It's not cool to be a patriot anymore.
No, it's not. And this just made it worse.
Well, their coach was sleeping with a reporter, for crying out loud.
Right. Anyway, King Charles comes to, you know, to take part in affairs of state, you know, down in D.C. and New York and Virginia to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Blah, 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 blah. And to welcome him, somebody in D.C. hung Australian flags.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. I was wondering where you were going with the left behind. Okay.
How stupid do you have to be?
Some village is missing their idiot.
Yes. The Union Jack, first of all, is one of the most recognizable flags on the planet. It's used on everything, on T-shirts. It's everywhere. And that's the flag. St. Andrews, St. Patrick, St. George. That's the, you know, the union of England, Scotland, and Ireland. That's where it comes from. It's just like they hung them up. Somebody started posting on social media. They got caught, and they quickly removed the flags. But my question is, how does that even happen? Seriously, how does that happen? Like, you get the King of England coming, and you're posting, you're hoisting Australian flags. And I get it. There's a Union Jack in the corner of their flag. It's just, you know, it's technically he's the head of state for them, but I mean, you can say it for Canada as well. And it's just, to me, it's a total embarrassment, though. But they caught it and rectified it.
It is. Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, I guess I'm giving my shovel to these guys that were pretending to be Buddhist monks. Some of you may have seen the story about the 22 Buddhist monks that got arrested at Sri Lanka's airport with 110 kilograms of weed.
Oh, so yeah.
I want my shovel to go to everyone that thinks weed should be illegal, first off, because it doesn't make any damn sense. Like, alcohol's legal. Why is it never frowned upon to look at people drinking? It's the same damn thing. Big tobacco and the alcohol industry have had a stranglehold on this stuff forever. Now, if it were Buddhist monks and they wanted to smoke weed, who gives a rat's ass? And on top of it, these guys deserve a shovel for putting a bad eye here on the Buddhist monks that don't smoke weed and don't bring this stuff into the country. This whole story's loaded. As I'm watching these guys, they're dressed up like monks. If you saw the headline yesterday when it first came out, you would have thought, hey, man, these guys got no, they've got no outs here. They've got nothing. They're just humming. They're sitting around in these robes and doing nothing. What's wrong if they want to get a little high and you know, kind of squeegee that third eye and see everything else? You know, like, this is weird, but the fact that this story comes out and it was people pretending to be Buddhist monks, I don't know, that kind of pisses me off.
My shovel goes to Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. You know who Steve Kerr is. Steve Kerr made a living off three-point shooting. He had an NBA all-time high, averaging 45% from beyond the line, beyond the arc. He was known to shoot threes. Now, he didn't shoot threes at the rate that they shoot them now. Who shoots more threes than anybody now? Who started this thing? Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors. He had the best three-point shooting backcourt in the history of the NBA. Do we agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, well, in a recent article with the New Yorker, Steve Kerr is quoted in saying, "I would even consider getting rid of the three-point line. The analytics revolution has created a weird situation where we all know exactly where the highest efficiency shot, layups, or corner threes, because the corner three is 22 feet and not 23.9 like the up above the break. I just wonder, if we get rid of the three-point line, if it would diversify the way everyone would play and create a lot of different creative solutions to basketball." You know, Dr. Dre once said, "I started this gangster crap." He didn't say crap. "And that's the MFing thanks I get." Well, guess what, Steve Kerr? You started this. You want to get rid of something that you started. He's saying how basketball is now not as diverse as it once was. Because everybody's trying to copy a team that won four NBA titles playing this way. How are you now going to cry about something? You just said we should be legalized. That's like state politicians legalizing it and then getting upset because you're selling too much weed.
Yeah.
That's what that is. This, you started this. You, if the game is ruined, it's because you had the best three-point shooting backcourt in the history of basketball, and you won four titles with it. Now that Steph Curry is at the end of his career, and it doesn't benefit you anymore, now you want to get rid of it. Oh, man, this is...
I thought you were going somewhere else with this, because Steve Kerr just admitted as well that he feels a little guilty that he wasn't more critical of China when all that stuff was going on, when he's critical of the government and the NBA, and he just said he didn't want to get in trouble by the NBA by saying anything that doesn't hurt them. And he admitted that now that he's going to, hang them up. That's what it sounds like.
410-583-1057 is the number. Antonio in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you, man? Right, man?
Good. Happy Hump Day Wednesday, guys.
Happy Hump Day Wednesday.
Yeah, babe.
How important has it been for the Orioles to get Andrew Kittredge back off the IL, and you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day, too. I think you saw that last night. Andrew Kittredge is filthy out of the bullpen. He created some traffic, and then I think he kind of settled down and got his wits about him and reminded himself, I'm Andrew Kittredge.
He doesn't even have a wind-up. He winds up at all.
And he's the most basic man in that clubhouse. I would love you see him just to walk around. Yeah. He literally walks around like the guy who walks around and scratches his head and stomach.
Yeah.
He's the most basic dude in the clubhouse, man. But it's like at some point with the bases loaded last night, he took a walk around the mound and said, I'm Andrew Kittredge. And just start dealing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he got his wits about him. Rick in West Baltimore. What's up, Rick?
How you doing, Rob? How's everybody doing this morning?
Doing well, man.
All right.
Hey, look, my statement was on that on the enlargement of the tournament. Like back in the day when it was only 24, you had to enlarge it because a team that, like Maryland, that had that great team that couldn't go. So you needed to make it bigger.
Was it 24 or 32 back then?
I'm talking about back when it was 24.
Okay.
And only the conference winners could go. And Maryland had that great team with Lynn Elmore, McMillan, I think it was a few other guys I can't think of right now. But they couldn't go to the tournament. They lost a big game in the ACC tournament against North Carolina State with the Skywalker and them. But they weren't able to go to the tournament. Then they started making it bigger. But now 64 is enough. You only need 68. That's just my point on it. How you guys? Y'all have a good day.
You appreciate too, it, man. Yeah. I think the expense. Look, there is a such thing as too much of any one thing can oversaturate it and ruin it for you.
But see, that's why I push back. Why did they have to expand it? Because your team didn't get in.
No, but they were having more teams. They didn't have a lot of teams back then that were eligible for that. And then again, when you go down to, you can only win your conference and get in and things like that. So they expanded it to make it more of a playoff. And now, like, they just keep expanding. All this is doing is it's the preservation of coaches. I made the tournament 10 years in a row. Great. You know, what did you do when you got there?
You know,
nothing.
You know why baseball had to expand the playoffs? I'll give you one year, 1993. 1993, the NL East, the Phillies won with 97 wins. The Astros didn't get into the playoffs with 94 wins. And the National League West. That's been Braves win the National League West, remember? The Braves won it with 104 wins. The Giants didn't get in with 103 wins.
See, and I'm not
and
saying...
And that's when the talk of expansion of the playoffs started.
See, I don't... But with me and like the financials of it, I think in today's game and across the board in all sports that the moves they're making are all financially driven. I don't think that was the case back then. I'm not saying finances didn't play into it, but you're expanding it to make the sport better. What makes it better by going to 76?
World is Stupid at 8:15, but on the other side, our capologist Brian McFarland joins us on The Fan.
The teams you grew up with.
Ravens are world champions.
Are the ones you still love today.
1057 The Fan.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.